Stephen, haven't talked to you in a while. How are you?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
Stephen is an expert on the United States Supreme Court. And Stephen, I think that they're going to be busy, aren't they, this upcoming spring?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there are a lot of cases that are currently, you know, one or two steps away. So I think, you know, the next term that starts this coming October could be a pretty momentous one.
Well, let's talk about two cases that affects the state of Michigan, and then we'll talk about some other cases. First of all, want to get your take on health care. It looks like, from all indications, it is going to go to the Supreme Court. What's your take on that, and would you think that the court would decide one way or another?
Well, I think, I mean, there are two questions. One is the timing, and then the other is what the court will actually do. You know, the Virginia lawsuit, the one that I think has gotten the most national press, there's been an effort by the Attorney General, Ken Cuccinelli, to get the Supreme Court to actually jump in now before the Intermediate Appeals Court, the Fourth Circuit, rules. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Supreme Court's going to wait. It's going to allow the case brought by Thomas More, that's out in the Sixth Circuit where you guys are, wait for the Fourth Circuit, wait for the Eleventh Circuit, which is down in Atlanta, to take these cases to decide them. And I think once we have decisions from the circuit courts, you know, that's when the Supreme Court's likely to step in. As for what they're going to do on the merits, you know, I think it's hard to handicap, but it's important to note that, you know, just last year, this very same court really saw very little trouble upholding a federal statute providing for the civil commitment of sex offenders on the ground that that was enough to interfere with interstate commerce. You know, I think the court's going to have to do some work and is going to have to revisit some pretty old precedents to strike down the health care law.
The question, I guess, is can you make people buy this health care and penalize them if they don't?
That's right. And I think, you know, I've always thought the stronger argument in favor of the bill was that it was Congress exercising its power to regulate interstate commerce. Now, I know the typical, you know, person, the typical individual, doesn't understand how their decision to buy health care insurance or not to buy health insurance affects interstate commerce. But the Supreme Court has always said, or at least it said since 1942, that Congress has the power to aggregate the effects of individual economic choices, whether it's regulating the industry for wheat or telling people that they can't grow medical marijuana in their backyard. You know, the case law is pretty clear that as long as the activity is economic, you know, and I think buying or not buying health insurance is economic, Congress has the power to regulate it. So, you know, that's why I think the court would have to really revisit some of those old precedents if they wanted to strike the bill down.
Stephen, when we talk about another topic that you and I have discussed before, it's about the right that folks have, if you will, to protest at funerals. There are some lawmakers here in the state who are trying to push a bill through, and I want to get your take on that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've talked about this before. I think it's a really emotionally loaded issue. You know, people have very strong views on both sides. You know, as you know, Tony, the Supreme Court heard arguments in October in a case raising this very issue. It's about funeral protesting by the Westboro Baptist Church in Virginia, actually. The case is called Snyder versus Phelps. And the question the court considered there is the conflicting rights of the protesters to, you know, their speech, and of the funeral goers, you know, the folks who are really, you know, mourning for the lost, to have some solitude in their mourning. I don't know how that case is going to come out. I'd be surprised if the court said funeral protesters are allowed everywhere at all times. I think it's likely the court's going to say, you know, as long as there is some place, even if it's 100 yards or 200 yards away, for protesters to protest, that doesn't violate the First Amendment rights. But then the question will be, how much room do states like Michigan have to really, you know, marginalize or at least put on the edge of these funerals, you know, groups who want to protest them?
Stephen, there is another case that will be before the Supreme Court that could establish nationwide standards for children's rights. What do you know about that case?
Well, this is remind me which one. This is the school search case.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Supreme Court has had a couple cases now in the last couple of years about the rights of, you know, elementary, middle, and even high school students when their principals, when their administrators want to search their lockers or, you know, want to subject them to drug tests or want to basically, you know, have them comply with certain regulations. What the court has basically said is the court has moved in the direction of fewer and fewer constitutional rights for students, especially for younger students, and more flexibility for school teachers and administrators. Indeed, Justice Thomas has gone so far as to suggest that students perhaps have no rights once they cross the threshold into a school. You know, I'm not sure how this is going to play out, but I do think that we're going to see some effort by the court over the next couple of years to give school administrators even more power, you know, when it comes to ensuring that there's no violent materials in students' possession at school, that there's no contraband in their possession at school. You know, so I think it's very possible that Justice Thomas is going to get a lot of what he's arguing for.
Any other cases coming up that piqued your interest?
Well, you know, I think there's been a lot of national attention on Prop 8, you know, the California constitutional proposition banning gay marriage. You know, that case is currently in a bit of a holding pattern because the Federal Appeals Court in San Francisco, the Ninth Circuit, sent it back to the California Supreme Court to make sure that these were the right parties. At some point, though, I think that case is going to get decided on the merits, and I think the Supreme Court really may have to jump in and decide once and for all whether or not the federal constitution allows states and the federal government to discriminate against folks of different sexual orientation when it comes to marriage. You know, I don't doubt that people have very strong opinions about that. The Supreme Court has tried very hard to not answer that question, and I think eventually they're going to have to.
Stephen, do you see any of the justices stepping down in the next year or so?
I think it's unlikely, Tony. You know, I think the justices are always wary about stepping down in an election year. And even though this isn't an election year, for all intents and purposes, it feels like one. You know, I think as long as President Obama remains in office, the next likely candidate as a justice to retire is Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But that being said, I'd be very surprised if Justice Ginsburg thought seriously about retiring this year or next year. I think it'll be 2013 or so before we have another conversation about, you know, the makeup of the court.
Stephen, you see any differences in the students you teach now as opposed to years back?
You know, I think there are two, Tony. I mean, I think, you know, students these days, first of all, the legal market has changed dramatically, as you know. I mean, I think, you know, the employment prospects for law students today aren't what they used to be. So I think, you know, students tend to be a little more nervous about their own futures. But substantively also, I mean, I think the conversations we've been having nationally over the last couple of years about healthcare, about immigration, about marriage, you know, I think the students that I see in my first year of constitutional law class come in with, I think, even more of a perspective on these issues than we might have expected 10 years ago. You know, constitutional law really is playing out in the public domain at a remarkable, to a remarkable degree, and I think that's showing up, you know, in my classes at least, if not in, you know, water cooler talk everywhere.
Stephen Vladeck is a professor at law at American University, Washington's College of Law. Stephen, always love talking with you. Thank you.
Likewise, Tony. Thank you.